name and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today is a subject that most are not aware of, most are not familiar with, and may I say multitudes, if not most Christians, do not understand or do not recall the fundamental foundational reason, the rationale, behind the Israeli-Iranian war. What's causing the Islamic nations to rise up and want to destroy that little small postage stamp called Israel? Since May 15, 1948, when Israel became a reconstituted nation, after about 2,500 years of all the Jewish people being in diaspora, that is scattered around the globe, they came back together, and starting at that very moment that they were declared a nation, May 15, 1948, there's been a constant skirmish, a constant battle, a constant approach, a constant attempt to annihilate, to eviscerate, to totally wipe out the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the results of a family feud. This battle goes back 4,000 years. It's a battle between Ishmael and Isaac, the heir that God had promised Abraham, versus the heir of Abraham as a result of disobedience to God's promise and intervening and trying to carry something out in our own or an individual's own strength. Our special guest today is Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the House of Representatives for the state of Florida. We're delighted, Congressman Hill, to have you with us. Let me say once again, thank you for joining us. A question that I think perhaps needs to be asked, and perhaps you have some insight that can answer it. Congressman Hill, do you think that the B-2 bombers dropping, I thought it was 7, but I understand in further research that it was 14 of the 30,000-pound bunker-busting bombs, as those were dropped over the main nuclear sites in Iran. Did that wipe out the nuclear capability for Iran? Or, let me just put this little question in, or when China had 2 major planes to come into Iran, did they pick up all of the fissile material, the nuclear material, and haul it off, or did they bring in other things for them to use? The question I reckon boils down to, at this very moment, does Iran have nuclear capabilities, or did we wipe them out with American bombs?
I think what we did, Dr. Youngblood, was at least delay it for some time. When I say delay, I wouldn't say just a couple of months. I think it's going to take years for Iran to recover. Those magnificent machines, those B-2 bombers that dropped those weapons, that was magnificent. In that there was not a lot of civilian deaths that occurred, that almost tends to make me think that they knew that it was coming, that it was going to take place. No, I'm sorry, Dr. Youngblood. Let me back up. I don't think they knew it was coming. But the precision of those weapons being dropped is what prevented a lot of civilian bloodshed from taking place. Mm-hmm. But I think it did severe damage to their ability to have a nuclear weapon. I'll have to believe what's coming from President Trump and from the Secretary of Defense, where they say that they obliterated their nuclear capabilities. I can only go by that. But I think it delayed it, that at some time in the future that they are going to want to get that back with the help of nations like China, Russia, and North Korea.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at headlines that says U.S. strikes completely and totally obliterated Iran's nuclear facilities, according to President Trump. President Donald Trump announced Saturday that the U.S. warplanes attacked Israel, that is, Iran's three main nuclear sites, in a bid to end the Islamic regime's nuclear weapons program. The American strikes, Trump's words now, have completely and totally obliterated the facilities. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capabilities and capacity, and to stop the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror, Trump said in a nationally televised address. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. And I'll touch on this and get your comment. I find it fascinating the strategy that was used by our military, where the planes took off from Missouri and some went east and some went west, and kept the, if you please, the enemy confused as to where those planes were going. But those boys flew those planes for between 36 and 40 hours in the air without stopping, and they had three refuelings in transition to go to their targets, hit the targets dead on spot, and return and landed. And a total of about 36 to 40 hours. One writer said 36, one said 40, so let's just call it a 40-hour trip to carry out the task. And I'm thankful for the precision, and I'm thankful for something that perhaps our listeners may or may not know. The equipment, the planes, and the material that was delivered to do what was done, only America has that capability and that capacity to do it.
That's right.
And so I am thankful that that's a outward show to the world that America stands with Israel. And I believe that is one of the things that is so vital and so necessary, is for the world to see that we are not backing away from Israel, as was done partially through the Clinton administration, majorly through the Obama administration, and majorly through the Biden administration. And I believe President Trump will go down in history as being the best president that America has had in our lifetimes. I am thankful for that. Congressman, if you'll hold your thought for a moment, I believe we have Davis on the phone. Go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Pastor. The very word Iran, whenever we evaluate that with our alphabet and a numerical system, I is the ninth letter of the alphabet. I is equated with fruit of the spirit. R is the 18th letter in the alphabet, and 18 is associated with bondage. A is the first. S associated with unity. N is the 14th, and that's with deliverance. If you add those numbers together, it goes to 42. 42 is equated with Israel's oppression and the Lord's coming.
Well, I cannot get into the numerical aspect of it, but I can go back to the Word of God and know that God says that He's going to protect His people, the nation of Israel. God's Word says in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, that any nation that comes against Israel, God will destroy. Congressman Hill, what say you?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Explicitly, that He will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And you know, I found it fascinating, Dr. Youngblood, that last week Tucker Carlson got in a little spat with Senator Ted Cruz, and demanded of Ted Cruz when God said that back in Genesis, was that to the same nation Israel that exists today? And Ted Cruz didn't have a good answer for him. I would have said emphatically, yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would have said, okay, you look at the United States today. Is that the same United States that was formed right after our Constitution was ratified in 1787? Is that the same United States? Yes, it is. It's the same Israel, and that is what God was talking about. So we have this agnostic Tucker Carlson trying to put Senator Ted Cruz on the spot. I would have given him a Dr. Gene A. Youngblood historical lesson in our religion to let him know that, yes, God will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. His word is truth, Dr. Youngblood, and it will not change. It is forever established.
Absolutely. Well, Davis, thank you so much for your call. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take Lily. Lily's on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood, Congressman Taylor. Thank you very much for taking my call, and God bless you for what you're doing. Praise God. We are grateful for you. And I'm in full agreement that all glory be to God for where things are today, and what we have been witnessing, as you have been saying, that God made his covenant, and he said it. He had his covenant with Abraham, and in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness, God's side of the covenant, he would not rescind from his part of the covenant, that Israel would continue to be his children, and he would punish them when they are in rebellion, and he would forgive them and restore them, and they would continue. So we realize that. And before the history point out the different times when God miraculously intervened on Israel's behalf. And I would say today we have the privilege of seeing it again. It's only by the power of God that we have things where it is today. We are grateful for the God who raised up Donald Trump and use him, protect him, because the enemy would have wiped him out. And normally, no human being have the kind of what you call stamina to cope with what he has been called. So we know God has raised him up specially and has been preserving and protecting him. And of course, God raised up Elon Musk. You can't forget that too, because we realize that it would be difficult for Trump to get back without the part played by Elon Musk. God raised him up at the right time for working his purpose out to get glory to himself, because the enemies are rampant and raging. As you were saying, that the problem of of Israel and the other Arabs, the origin of it, where it started from Abraham wasn't able to wait patiently until God fulfilled his promise to him, himself tried to help himself by an Ishmael turn up. So the origin of the enmity in the family. But we know also, as you have been pointing out in the study in Revelation, that when the woman about to give birth to her son, the dragon was there waiting to devour the son at the birth. God had to protect. So the enemy, we know where the main part of the enemy is. The plan God had for Abraham's children was redemption. Hallelujah. For all of us. God had blessing all nations out of Abraham's children, the Jews, Israel. And the enemy, that's the fight. The enemy need to have been trying to devour Israel over the years, has been doing everything, and at the time of the revelation, point out the dragon waiting to devour, and God protecting the child, and even as he came at his crucifix, I imagine that at the time of his putting him on the cross, crucifying him, I think the enemy rejoiced, and the dragon, Satan, felt that he had the victory at that time, but praise God, the resurrection. And we know Satan has been defeated at that time.
Right. Lily, if I can jump in for just a moment. Of course, thank you for your insightful call. One of the things, by the way, that you're referring to is in Revelation, the 12th chapter. It is talking about the great whore, the apostate church, in the 17th chapter. The 12th chapter, it points out very clearly why Israel is hated so much. It's because Israel is the nation that gave birth to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That enmity, that hatred, that desire to destroy the Jewish people has been ever present, and we see that even in the last days when you look at the Revelation text, and it gives a history overview of what took place and why in that 12th chapter. And I'm thankful for that. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Congressman Hill, very important question. I believe that President Trump did what he has the authority to do in the Constitution and sending in the V-2s with the bombs, etc. You have the hue and cry, the hair on fire with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. You have the Communist Network News that's now all upset. You have one, I believe it's a legislator out of Texas, Al Green, that's already filed for articles of impeachment against President Trump. So my question to you, Congressman Hill, did President Trump then, and does President Trump now have the constitutional authority to do what he did?
Yes, he does, Dr. Youngblood. Emphatically, he does. Those who are in Congress, including some Republicans, there's Senator Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, and a few others who are saying only Congress has the authority to make war. That is not what the Constitution says. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 11 says that Congress has the authority to declare war against another nation. It didn't say that the president needs their permission to prevent a war, to attack another nation, but they are the ones who declare war. A war has not been declared against Iran. But what President Trump did was took out their ability to inflict harm, not only upon Israel, but also upon the United States. They had the capability of intercontinental ballistic missiles, which could reach potentially the United States. They didn't need that if they were using their nuclear capabilities for peaceful reasons, to generate electricity, power, or whatever. They were using it specifically to make these ICBMs that could hit not only Israel, but also America. President Trump was within his authority, within Article 2 of the Constitution, to protect this nation, to protect its borders, and to preemptively destroy Iran from inflicting harm upon us.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's inextricably linked with that question, there's what is called the War Powers Act that was introduced in Congress, and it was a resolution and a law passed, I believe it was 73, 74, 75, either 73 or 76, the War Powers Act. And they're claiming now that if not the Constitution, then the War Powers Act. In fact, I think most of our legislators on the left side of the aisle, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party legislators, have greatly convoluted and confused our Constitution and the War Powers Act. Now, here's my position, and I want your response to it. The War Powers Act that was passed, it was a knee-jerk legislation that went through, and it was passed. Does a War Powers Act take precedence over and nullify the Constitution and what the Constitution says is the authority of the president. If that is so, then it means that the Congress has the authority to change the Constitution without a notification and a change of the Constitution by vote of the states across America. Respond to that convoluted statement and question.
You are absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. That is spot on. The Constitution is a supreme law of the land. Anything that conflicts with that, the Constitution takes preeminence, is priority. And so for them to pass this War Powers Act, so-called, if it conflicts with what the Constitution says, then it is null and void. The Constitution is the preeminent law of the land. That is the law that all Congress members, anyone elected to office, all military members, swore an oath to protect and defend, not the War Powers Act. So you are absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. That was a knee-jerk reaction, passing that, I believe, as you say, it was either in 74 or maybe it was in 76 when it was passed back then. But it does not take preeminence over what our Constitution says, giving the president authority to protect and defend this nation.
Absolutely. I get frustrated with our news media and our loot, slacks, lost liberals on the left when they don't understand our Constitution, or they are failure to understand and are purposeful acting ignorant about the Constitution and wanting to do that they're trying to say cannot be done. They're screaming now impeachment, that he has violated our Constitution, and I don't see where that will stand up. Nevertheless, that's another battle against Trump. What are your thoughts about allowing the courts to circumvent our constitutional authority? Right now, the president has had his legs and his arms tied since he went into office, trying to carry out his pledge and his commitment in his running for office to protect America, to drain the swamp, clean the sewers. And right at this moment, there's been almost 300 lawsuits and over 175 or 184 injunctions against President Trump. And the most recent relief of that is where a 6-3 decision of the courts allows President Trump to continue to deport illegal invaders. And they are saying it is kind of focused that he can deport them to any nation if the nation that they're from will not take them. The courts now have, and the rejoicing by the right, that is conservative, said, well, the courts have given President Trump the permission to do da-da-da-da-da. Well, number one, that's a lie on the face of it. The courts do not have to give him permission to do what the Constitution authorizes him to do and demands, commands that he do. But now where the courts are saying, okay, we're going to give you an okay. We're giving you the green light. You can start deporting those criminals, invaders that have here, that's been here, and he's been trying to do that now for months. What say you? How should we view that? What should our listeners, conservatives, Christians, and patriots that are listening, how should they view that? Should we depend on what the courts do and say, well, the court said he can't, so he can't? What response should the Trump administration do and have with this convoluted court system where the courts are trying to run the Oval Office?
Well, what's interesting, Dr. Youngblood, is all these lawsuits taking place right now against President Trump and his administration. It did not happen at all during the Biden administration, during the Obama administration. It did not happen. And if you think about it, it didn't happen to this degree during Trump's first term from 2016 to 2020. What the left is doing, what Democrats are doing, is they are discovering a new way to fight against Trump, to fight against his attempt to bring back America to its greatness. And they're using judges to do it. When our founding fathers, when they established our Constitution, their intent was to make the Article 3, the judicial powers, the least powerful branch of the government.
Yes.
Not the most powerful. We have turned it around so that anytime there is a significant decision that has to be made, we say, oh, let the Supreme Court do it. No. We do not let the Supreme Court do it. Congress, Article 1, the President, Article 2, they have just as much authority to interpret what the Constitution says as Article 3, the judicial branch, does. Put a stop to this immediately. And how do we stop it? You just ignore them, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen, amen, amen.
Trump should continue deporting. He should continue doing whatever is necessary to fulfill the mandate that he received when 84 million people voted for him. And he does not have to rely on – they can't give an order. They can only give an opinion.
That's right.
When you read the Constitution, they give an opinion on actions that have been taken by Congress and by the executive branch, by the president. It can be ignored, and it should be. Dr. Youngblood, when President Trump tried to bring a lawsuit about the election fraud that took place when they installed Biden, the courts wouldn't even take the case. They said there was no standing. Now, all of a sudden, with this 667 different federal district courts, Trump is supposed to have unanimous approval from all of them in order to continue his agenda, because any one of them can stop it from any state, anywhere, can say, oh, no, you're not going to do that, and that's supposed to stop everything in its tracks. I don't think so.
Absolutely. And I blame John Roberts, the Chief Justice, for not reining in his court system. We've got about a minute left. I'm going to touch on a positive note. Looking at the headline, Pete Hegseth calls Jesus his Lord and Savior and leads prayer services and Bible study at the Pentagon. I'm going to read a brief paragraph. In an inspiring moment, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth demonstrated his commitment to the Christian faith by holding a prayer service at the Pentagon, saying the event would take place monthly under his leadership and drawing praise from Christians and criticism from the left. The left calling it a violation of the separation of church and state. Very quickly, Congressman Hill, in these final moments, what say you? I am thankful personally. Is this good, bad, or indifferent? Should we see this continue? What are your thoughts?
I say amen. It is good. Yeah. Continue it. You know, Dr. Youngblood, when in the founding, church services used to be held in a Capitol building.
Yes.
And so there is nothing that this whole idea of separation of church and state is nonsense. It's fiction. And I'm thankful we have someone like Pete Hegseth and President Trump leading this nation right now.
Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real blessing. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for...